From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. It's our privilege to have you with us today. In a moment, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. The message this week is called Christ and His Sheep, part of Dr. Cairns' series on the life of Christ. From the text, which is the entire 10th chapter of John's Gospel, we see that the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laid down His life for the sheep. Before the message, however, Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to report on Rome and illegal immigration.
Illegal immigration is a hot-button item all across America. With millions of illegals already in the country and with millions more trying to get in, and of course with a presidential election looming, it's a subject that's going to be debated more and more over the months to come. Have you ever wondered why the Roman Catholic Church has taken such an interest in protecting illegal immigrants? For years, her priests and bishops have encouraged illegal immigration, have sheltered illegals, and have fought to have them receive all the rights, privileges, and protections of American citizens. Recently, I listened to a bishop interviewed on National Public Radio, and he vehemently defended the right of illegals, arguing that human rights, for example, the right to live and to work, to have health care and welfare, were the gift of God and not of any government. Of course, what he didn't say was that there's no divine mandate that everybody and anybody has a God-given right to live and work in America. The bishop hastily went on to say that, of course, he was not advocating that America do away with its borders. Sure he wasn't. He just wants it to do away with its southern border. Now, it's not my purpose to debate the issue of immigration, legal or illegal. That's a political issue, and this is not a political commentary. My interest is in just why the Roman Catholic Church is so involved in the issue, and why it has openly challenged every government initiative to deal with the problem of illegal immigration. The politically correct answer is that Rome cares for the poor and for the downtrodden. The real answer is very different, and it is that Rome is dependent on Hispanic immigration for its survival as the major religious power in the United States. Since 1960, over 70% of new additions to the Roman Catholic Church in the United States have been Hispanics. At the moment, Hispanics make up 40% of the membership of the Roman Catholic Church in the United States. The total membership is 65 million. That means that there are 26 million Hispanic members. And that number increases almost every time another illegal immigrant enters the country. When you think that apart from the Hispanic growth in its membership, the Roman Catholic Church would be showing the same decline as other denominations, you can see why it is so vociferous about allowing illegal immigration to continue and for illegals to be granted permanent status. In other words, Rome's stand on immigration is neither because of Christian charity nor humanitarian interest. It's purely a self-centered policy of maintaining its prominence and power. Now, don't misunderstand me on this subject. I condemn Roman Catholic hypocrisy, but I believe that Bible-believing Christians should not allow political considerations to stand in the way of evangelizing the lost. Hispanics, like all the rest of us, need Christ, and we should do what we can to get the gospel to them. Never think that you should stop to find out a man's immigration status before giving him the gospel. Rome shows nothing but self-love in dealing with immigrants. Let us, as Bible believers, show the love of Christ by seeking to reach them with the gospel.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds the guilt of our sin. Yonder on Calvary, God's Lamb outpoured blood for our cleansing and peace.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. For an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Feed the soul, satisfy the soul, bless the soul in life and in death. And that is the mediator of all grace, the Lord Jesus. Now, what have you done with the door this morning? In Sunday school, I don't know if you sing it here, probably do, knowing that my wife has resurrected many ancient choruses to teach the kids, so maybe this is one she did. But we were little kids, we used to sing, "One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you?" Good question. Simple enough for a child to envisage and understand. As long as you keep away from Christ, you cannot be saved. But no matter what the devil tells you to the contrary, you come to God through Jesus Christ, you'll find He is able to save to the very uttermost them that come unto God by Him. So, in relation to the fold, He is the door of the sheep. Now, in relation to the flock, and that's what He goes on to discuss next, He says, "I am the good shepherd." And again, it's a very familiar figure that the Lord Jesus is using. It's based on many Old Testament references that help us to understand clearly what He was saying about Himself when He called Himself the shepherd, what He intends us to understand by it. We were singing this morning, for example, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. The Old Testament recognizes this again and again. The true shepherd of the people of God can be none other than Jehovah. Jehovah is my shepherd. The 80th Psalm in the first verse teaches the very same thing. The 95th Psalm teaches the very same thing. This is something that comes up again and again in the Old Testament. The true shepherd is the Lord Jehovah. So when the Lord Jesus says, I am the shepherd, the Jews understood, though they didn't like it, they understood the force of it. Later on, they called him a blasphemer for saying something similar. You're making yourself out to be God. Yes, he was. It's exactly what he was saying. They had asked the question, whom makest thou thyself? Here's his answer. I am the shepherd. The true shepherd. I am the one of whom the psalmist spoke. This is the claim of Christ to true deity. Time does not allow me this morning just to revisit some of the scriptures we have looked at in the past. But you'll find in John 5, the Lord Jesus was making that claim very clearly. In John 8, again, he makes that claim very, very clearly. And now again, we noticed it in John 9, and now again in John 10, he's saying, I am truly God. Another truth the Old Testament emphasized was that God promised that he would send Messiah to be the true shepherd. Ezekiel 34 and verse 23, whom he calls my servant David. Jesus is saying, I'm the fulfillment of all that. I am the greater Joshua. You remember Moses prayed and God fulfilled it in Joshua in Numbers 27, 16 and 17. Moses prayed, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And God's answer to that was Joshua. Now Hebrews 4 tells us Joshua was just a picture of the New Testament Joshua. Joshua is the Hebrew word. Jesus is the Greek one. Same name. Who is the true Joshua? The Lord Jesus says, I am. I'm God's answer ultimately to Moses' prayer. I'm the one to lead them out and bring them in, to protect them and stand guard. I am the good shepherd. Now this is the background. And against this, the Lord Jesus goes on to make these specific statements about himself in relation to his flock. Now this would take a series of studies. I leave it to Mr. Braham, who has many more years than I. Well, he thinks he does. Though I might be at his funeral, who knows? That's the uncertainty of life. But in the normal course of events, we'd expect him to have many more years than I. And John gives us here some of these profound statements of Christ. Each one is a Bible study in its own right. First of all, he received his flock as a gift from his Father. Remember we read that down in verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. It's fascinating how the Lord Jesus, as he approached the end of his life, emphasized that truth again and again. In John 17, for example, in his great high priestly prayer, he comes back to it. Thine they were, thou gavest them to me. There is a people. Now, I understand that Arminians don't like this. Well, so be it. I'm not in business to make you happy, unless it's truth that makes you happy. I'm not in business to tickle your ears or tickle your fancy. I'm just here to tell you what the Bible says and tell you when Jesus says it, it's worth everything. And it brings great comfort to the heart. He says, God gave me my sheep. He gave them to me. Here is his insight into the mystery of what is called predestination. We get so torn apart by big theological terms. Jesus says, it's simply this. God gave me a flock. And they're mine. By divine covenant and by divine gift. What a wonderful truth. If you take that truth through John 17, you'll discover it's full of great comfort for the people of God. You see, your certainty of salvation depends primarily not on human action, but divine action. Not on human decision, but divine decree. When you look back to when you came to Christ, in the common phrase of the day, when you decided for Christ, and I'm certainly no enemy of the reality of the decision that a soul makes when it comes to cast itself on Christ. There is a decisive moment of commitment to Christ. But when you look back on that, are you altogether happy with your decision? Are you altogether happy with your faith and your repentance and your action? Not at all. At its greatest height, our faith is riddled with unbelief. At its deepest sincerity, our repentance is riddled with failure and with sin. At its most explicit, our decision is riddled with doubt and indecision. What am I saying? I'm simply saying, when I look at you and I look at me, I have to cry to God and say, I've seen an end of all perfection. No perfection in anything that I do. Bless God, there's total perfection in everything that He does. And I can say with the psalmist that I know that when God does a thing, it's done forever. That's why I say, His decree, His covenant, His gift is the basis of all our assurance, all our comfort. Of course, the devil likes to make the simple complex, and he likes to make the plain into something mysterious. And you say to you, but how do you know that He gave you? Man, don't be an idiot now. Don't play the devil's mind games. God never tells me to try and penetrate the counsels of eternal decreeing to find out, did God then give me? No, God tells me to come to Christ. And how do I know that He gave me? I come through the door. And when I come through the door, I know I'm there because God gave me to Christ. You come through the door, and that's the only proof you need that you're among the sheep given to Christ. In great humility, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, accepted the role as our shepherd. We read these words too easily. I am the good shepherd. You know, the shepherd was not a high-flying member of society. The shepherd had a very lowly state. So lowly, indeed, you'll remember well the words of Genesis 46 and 34, that every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. The Egyptians wouldn't act as shepherds. Why? Because they were so mean, so lowly. Yet, it was this lowly, difficult, dangerous, lonely office that the Lord Jesus undertook for us. He said, I have become the shepherd. And as the shepherd, verse 11 and 17, He purchased us, His flock, with His own life. I am the good shepherd that giveth His life for the sheep. I lay down my life, and I'm laying it down for the sheep that I might take it again. Here's the shepherd. Greater love hath no man than this, than the laying down of his life for his friends. As Paul said to the Ephesians, Christ loved his church and he gave himself for it. as he wrote to Titus in chapter 2 and verse 14, he gave himself for us that he might purchase unto himself, redeem us unto himself as a peculiar people and zealous of good works. In heaven, the people of God are making the vaults of glory ring with their song, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.